How are you today?
Good.
How about this weather?
Hmm? Not bad, huh? Someone said we should have church outside.
Amen.
Sound like a good idea?
Amen.
Well, let's go. I need the slides today. Maybe another time. Well, hey, you want to get your outline out so you can follow along with this morning's message. A man is walking along the beach, and he spots an old bottle there in the sand. He picks it up, he dusts it off, he uncorks it, and out pops a genie. And the genie says, "Oh, I'm so glad to be freed from that bottle. I will grant you in return 3 wishes. The guy says, "I've always dreamed of this happening to me, and I know just what to ask for." He says, "First, I want $1 billion in a Swiss bank account." Poof! There's a flash of light, and all of a sudden in the man's hand is a paper with account numbers verifying that he indeed has $1 billion in a Swiss bank account. "Second," he says, "I want a brand new fire red Ferrari." Poof! There's a flash of light and there's a brand new Ferrari. And then he says, "Third, make me irresistible to women." Poof! Flash of light, and the man is turned into a credit card, right? The ladies aren't laughing. All right, throw the tomatoes, I deserve it. Just in fun. Today is part one in our series, Dollars and Cents, just a two-part series. This morning, we're learning about getting free from debt, or, as the case may be, staying free from debt. You know, debt is a major problem in this country, even among Christians. In 2014, the average American household carries a balance, get this, of $15,480 in credit card debt. We are following the bad example of our government, $17 trillion in debt. The average credit card interest is somewhere between 13 and 16%. And of course, there are cases where it's higher than that. That's double-digit interest. And we can't afford that. But there's good news. The Bible has more than 2,350 verses on material possessions. That's more than on faith and on prayer. And yet, aside from churches asking for money or talking about tithing, how to handle the other 90% of your income is sometimes, I should say, too often neglected in sermons. And the result is we have many Christians up to their eyeballs in debt. And their piggy bank, look at that pathetic thing. Piggy bank bleeding red ink. Oh, it's a shame. So we need to do something about it, and this teaching today is aimed at that. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I say, and I hope you're taking notes because you'll want to write it down. In fact, today is a historic day for main ideas. You know why? Well, you're going to find out. Today, get this, guys. Are you ready? You got the smelling salts handy? Here it is. The main idea is the same thing as the title of today's message. Whoa, historic day at Stony Creek Church. Act your wage. Act your wage. Dave Ramsey. I think he uses that little phrase there. Any of you guys familiar with Dave Ramsey? Listen, a number of you are. He's really good. He's on the radio, has stuff on the web, a great resource to learn about this topic. And I know he's used this phrase from time to time. I'm not sure I got it from him or where I got it, but act your wage. In other words, live within your means. This morning, we're looking at five biblical principles for acting your wage. And you may have noticed that on your outline, we have an acronym. This something also is pretty rare here at Stony Creek Church, at least for Randy Ream. You'll notice that down the left side of your outline, it spells the words, cap me, cap me. All right? So these points are not necessarily in logical order, but designed to help you to remember these important points. So the first one, the C, the first of the five biblical principles for acting your wage, the C is commit. Commit your finances to God. How many of you have ever done any house sitting in your experience? A number of you have. Well, it's been a long time for me, but Debbie and I, back when we were a young couple living down in Dallas, Texas, we did some house sitting for a very nice family. They happened to be quite well off. They had a beautiful, big home, and we lived in this little Cracker Jack size apartment at the time. So it just felt so beautiful and big and spacious to be in this home house sitting for this family. They had, you know, giant-sized bedroom, and the walk-in closet was the size of our living room, and big swimming pool with Texas on the map of Texas, and it was just incredible place, and we had so much fun there, and they were so generous. They said, you know, just eat anything, treat the place like it's your own, and it was a lot of fun, and I remember daydreaming, you know, what if I owned this place? You know, what would I do? How would I arrange the furniture? And you know, what would I put up on the walls and that kind of stuff? But, of course, it was still their place. And I was very conscious of that and wanted to take good care of it. We didn't own it. We were just the caretakers. I wasn't there to conform that place to my taste. I was there to be a good house sitter. Well, you know something, Christian? Really, you and I are house sitters for God. Amen. With really everything that we quote unquote own. The Bible teaches that all of creation, even the stuff that we say is ours, belongs to Him. We are just borrowing it. He's loaned it to us for us to be good stewards, good managers of it. There's a little phrase that I would ask that you never forget, that you concentrate on this and repeat it to yourself. All I own, I have on loan. Can you say that with me? All I own, I have on loan. That is a great biblical principle. We are vehicle sitters. We are wardrobe sitters. We're bank account sitters for God who owns it all. Even your body doesn't really technically belong to you in the ultimate sense. It belongs to Him. We need to consciously remind ourselves of this every day. And because we so often forget it, we need to commit all our stuff to God on a regular basis. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, actually two verses, 3 verses 9 and 10. And help me out when we come to the yellow print It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first and best part of all your income. Help me out. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. How many of you got barns? Anybody? All right, Amy. I know, I've seen that barn. It's a nice barn. I guess the rest of us are out of luck, right? No, he's talking here metaphorically as an example here. And this is a promise. And get this, folks, the promise is conditioned on a command. Notice he says, then your barns will be full. Then after what? After you honor the Lord with your wealth and the first part of your income. You know, here at Stony Creek Church, if you're a member here, you commit, as have I and Debbie, to giving 10% of your income to the Lord's work here at Stony Creek Church. That's a biblical principle. Giving is an act of worship. That's why we have an offering at our service. It's an act of worship. And as you heard, we just recently started with this online giving option on the website. And so there's, you know, even more reason for being consistent. But you know, some Christians get the idea, okay, I give my 10% to God and the rest is mine. You know, I get to keep the 90%. That's not true, folks. It all belongs to God, 100%. Yes, God gives it to you because he wants you to use it for his glory and for your enjoyment. Take a time out here for a moment and look at this scale of 1 to 10. How well do you honor God with your income? If 10 is the best and 1 is the worst, where would you say you fall on this scale of 1 to 10? Give yourself a mark. What number are you? You know, the more you realize that it all belongs to God, actually, the more freed up you will feel, the more generous you will be, the less stress you will have, because it all belongs to God. And, you know, you're just the caretaker. You really don't have to worry about the stuff because it's his. Pray over your budget. Pray over your plans and your purchases. Ask God's direction. You know, many Christians, they compartmentalize their finances. And it's an area that somehow Christianity doesn't seem to apply to, they seem to think. But that isn't true. When Debbie and I moved into our house, the day we got the keys and walked in the door, first thing we did is we got down on our knees and we said to God, Lord, this is the butler and the maid reporting for duty here. This is your house. It belongs to you. And by the grace of God, we try to do that with all the things that we purchase. Vehicles, Lord, this belongs to you, this vehicle. How can I best use it to drive every mile to the glory of your name? Never forget, you're not the owner. God is. Amen. You're only the house sitter. You're the clothes sitter. You're the furniture sitter in more ways than one, right? Making this realization is the first step to handling your money well. Let's look at the second biblical principle. The A in CAPME is abolish debt. Abolish it. What is debt? Well, debt is money that you're obligated to pay somebody. It could be credit card, bank loan, mortgage, car loan, loans from relatives, past due medical bills, some debt can be okay, like, for example, a mortgage on your home. But even in a case like that, we always need to use great caution. You know, I just cringe when I hear these commercials that say, bad credit, no problem. Bankruptcy, no problem. Come on in and we'll sign you up for a new car. We got to change our mentality. That's how our country, our society has got into so much trouble. We need to think of debt as a spare tire, you know, like that little donut you put on when your tire goes flat. You never want to use that unless you have to, unless, you know, it's absolutely necessary. We need to avoid debt as much as possible. Why is that? Well, Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, a borrower is a slave to the lender. When you get into debt, you cease to work for yourself, and you begin to work for somebody else. When you pay interest, you get nothing in return. It goes to your master, MasterCard, right? You're a slave. Your chains around your ankles and your wrists. You know, we fought a war in this country to abolish slavery, and yet, if you're in debt, you've sold yourself. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought at a price. Help me. Do not become slaves of human beings. The worst thing about debt is the interest you pay on that loan. If you borrow, say, $5,560 on your credit card at 18% interest, in 1 year, get this, you pay $1,000 of interest for the privilege of borrowing that $5,500. That's just crazy. By the time you pay off your car or your house or your credit card, when you're paying interest, you've paid way more for the item than its original price. Interest is poison. Imagine you're sitting here listening to the sermon, and all of a sudden you hear this rattling noise under your chair. Say, what's that? You look under your chair and you see this fella grinning at you. So what do you do? What do you do? Do you just, Randy's sermon is just so captivating, you ignore that and just go on as before? No, you jump out of that chair as fast as you can. The Hebrew word for interest on a loan in the Old Testament is from the same word used for a snake bite. Did you know that? When you reach for your credit card, it's like you're putting your hand into his nest. You don't want that. Knowing that you won't pay it off at the end of the month is like it's like putting your hand into a snake hole. Avoid interest as you would avoid a rattlesnake. Look at Romans 13, 7 and 8. Pay everyone whatever you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay them. If you owe tolls, pay them. Pay your debts as they come due. If you're in debt and struggling financially, the first place to turn is to God. He cares about you. He cares about your situation. He wants to help you. Confess where you've used poor judgment and then ask for his help. Look what Psalm 72, verses 12 and 13 says. He will rescue the needy person who cries for help and the oppressed person who has no one's help. He will have pity on the poor and needy. This is a promise. a promise from God that he will help you. And when we look at the rest of Scripture, we see how God fulfills this promise. There are a number of ways in which God fulfills that promise to help the needy. One is through honest and hard work to earn a living. Scripture clearly teaches this, that we are to work hard to earn our keep. Secondly, the Bible gives us many biblical principles of the wise use of money. We need to follow those principles. We can't blow these things off and then expect that we're going to, have all our needs met. It doesn't work that way. We have to follow the prescription in order to embrace the cure. And then the third thing is God's people who help with urgent needs. God prospers some people in great ways, and they can help other people. At Stony Creek Church, we have a love fund to help the needy among us, and I'm so glad to say that that many generous people give to that fund, and it is used to help people with urgent needs. But we also need, in cases where people are struggling, to direct them to get financial counseling, to learn the wise use of money, because sometimes they're in that situation, not always, but sometimes, because there hasn't been a wise use of funds. And so if you're in debt and you don't know where to turn, don't feel ashamed to come and ask for help. We here at Stone, come and ask me or one of the other elders. We can direct you to people that can help you and sit down with you and work through this stuff. How can you avoid debt? Well, let's look at some ways we can do that. First, use a debit card instead of a credit card. Keep the credit cards only for emergencies or maybe things that you know you would buy anyway, like buying gas or something. Sometimes you can get points on stuff like that and you'd know you'd need it anyway and you'd pay for it anyway. If owning a credit card, hear me on this, folks, if owning a credit card is too much of a temptation for you, you need plastic surgery, all right? And I'm serious about that. You need to cut up those credit cards if you just can't handle it, or you're way over on your credit card. Just get rid of the thing. Second, pay off credit card balance each month. If you can't do this, then you shouldn't be owning a credit card at all. But even if you do pay off your credit card every month, you're probably still spending more money by just virtue of the fact that you're using it. Studies show that you will spend typically about 34% more with a credit card than if you used cash or a debit card. I remember one year, this was a long time ago, I tested this on our own finances, and I found that Debbie and I, when we used a credit card, we typically would spend about 29% more than when we just were using cash. And so just because you know you don't have, the bill's going to come someday down the road, you just tend to spend more with it. And then third thing, don't take on new debt. And that includes co-signing. There's a lot the Bible has to say against co-signing. How can you reduce your debt or get out of debt? Well, first of all, know what you owe. You know what you owe. Some people have such a fear of snakes, they can't even look at them in a picture of a snake. Maybe you know somebody like that. And you think, that's a little strange. But on the other hand, many people don't know their own indebtedness because they're just afraid to to find out what it is, to look at it. And so they shoved the bill in the drawer, out of sight, out of mind. But that's denial. And so you gotta come to grips with reality. Second thing is make a list of all your debts, the amount that's owed, the monthly payment, the interest that's accruing there. Take all that into account. This is not rocket science. Maybe you've heard this stuff before. It's just doing it, you know? Third, make a repayment schedule for your debts. Contact your creditors. There are some cases where creditors will be understanding with this and will give you extra time or maybe a payment. If they see that you are intent on really paying them off, sometimes they even reduce what's needed to be paid there. But contact them, talk with them. Fourth, pay the small debts first, get those off the out of the way. This will encourage you. Hey, look at I'm digging myself out, and will free up the money for bigger debts. And then five, pay off the high interest debts ASAP. You really want to reduce that interest if at all possible. Six, make double payments on the principal if you can do that. We've been doing stuff like that with our building here to reduce our principal by paying extra. Do that with the car or the home mortgage. Debbie and I, we a number of times refinanced and made extra payments, and our house has been paid off, and we're really grateful for that. And of course, you save huge on your interest. And then, finally, number seven, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Stick with it. Hang in there. Okay, so those are some helpful principles. The third biblical principle for acting your wage, we're back to the outline now, is prohibit. This is the P on CAPME. Prohibit impulse buying. You go to the grocery store, maybe you have a list in your hand and you carefully pick out the items, maybe you're using some coupons, but then you get to the checkout line, right? And you see that gum that's there, that box of mints, and I gotta have that. And so you grab it. That's impulse buying. And you might think, that's so harmless, but you know what? It really adds up. Impulse buying really adds up. Not just the big flat screen TV or the patio furniture you found on sale, but those small purchases, they add up. If you add it all up, it's a lot. I remember a couple telling me they figured out how much they were spending just by going to Starbucks for coffee on their way to work, and they found out, man, we're spending a fortune. And it just nickel and dimes you all the way there. Impulse buying is an unplanned purchase on the spot. You see that sale sign and you say, oh, you know, I gotta have that. Oh, it's free shipping. Free shipping. Oh man, now I gotta get it. It's perfect. I've just got to have this. Or maybe you saw it on TV. Only $19.95, right? And if you call in the next 10 minutes, but there's more. You know, and all these different gimmicks. Do you know that 40% of all sales on the internet are impulse purchases? That means that somebody went there not intending to buy anything, but they just bought it because they got hit with an ad that they couldn't resist. And it's so easy when all you have to do is just click a button and it's yours, right? Merchants want, they are trained, and people who put ads together, they are trained in luring you in to make impulse purchases. Hey guys? Impulse purchases. And we have to resist that. I was talking to a salesperson recently who came to our door, and she told me, you know, if when somebody says, because I wasn't going to get what she was offering, when somebody says, I'll think about it, we don't even bother coming back because we know if the person thinks about it, they won't buy it. And I was thinking, what does that say about your product, right? If you think about it, we're not going to buy it? Oh my goodness. And so resist impulse purchases. Scripture says, look what it says here in Proverbs 21, verse 5. Haste leads to poverty. Leads to poverty. So what do you do? How do you avoid impulse buying? Well, here's some tips for you. Number one, make a list of what you need when you go to the store or if you're going to go on the web to buy something. Have clearly in mind what you want when you go in there. Secondly, don't look at items in the checkout aisle. I just bought some gum the other day when I was going, oh, I can't believe it. I love that Orbit gum. That's my big downfall. Number three, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. You'll buy more. And it's probably not the stuff that's real good for you, too. Number four, before you buy a big item, sleep on it. Sleep on it. Think about it. I've done that, and I've always been glad. And not too long ago, Debbie and I, we bought a refrigerator, and we violated this principle. And I am sorry I bought that refrigerator. We really didn't need it, and it didn't end up being the right size. And why'd we do that? I violated this principle. So sleep on it before you buy something big. And then number five, don't ask, do I want it? Ask, can I afford it? We ask ourselves the wrong question. Number six, don't go window shopping. Don't go web shopping. Not a good idea. It's not smart. And then finally, don't gamble. Don't gambling is an obscene waste of God's money. It's what I call stupid tax. That's what it is, really. The same thing with the lottery. It's just a bad thing all the way around. It doesn't help anybody. Don't gamble. Don't waste your money on that stuff. The fourth biblical principle for acting your wage, the M on cap me, is make a budget. Make a budget. Of course, a budget is a plan for how you choose to spend your money, the money that you earn. Look at this famous saying, failing to plan is planning to fail. You know who said that? Randy Ream. That's right. He did. Probably many others have said it as well. I know it's not in the Bible, but it should be, right? I got to talk to God about that. He should have put that in there. No, he actually put some stuff like this that's even better. Look at this. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. To poverty. Lead to poverty. My goodness. So make a budget. It's simple. Let's look at some simple steps for making a budget. Number one, write down what you make after taxes. All right, so you want to list that. That's your income. Secondly, list all your debts. That is your payment schedule for paying off your mortgage, your car loan, your credit card debt, whatever it is. And figure that out as what you would pay per month. And then list all your regular living expenses. How much does it cost to live in your house, to pay the utilities, to keep the cupboards and refrigerated stocked, and maintain your cars and insurance and medical bills and school bills and gifts and vacations and anniversaries and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, folks, first on that list should be giving to the Lord's work, right? Remember that verse that said, honor the Lord with the first of your income, 10% off the top. That's the principle to go with. Also, list what you'll save each month. I believe strongly in the 80-20 rule, 80% to pay, you know, to live on, and 10% to the Lord, and 10% to savings. That's a good rule of thumb. And then add all your list up, the total figure of what you need each month. How much does it cost to you to pay your bills each month? And if your expenses are higher than your income per month, guess what? You're living beyond your means. Something has to change. And of course, you need to prioritize what needs to go. And you construct a budget like that. Number five, our final biblical principle for acting your wage is to economize. Most folks don't realize how much money slips through their fingers just because they fail to economize. I like this picture here of Noah. He's got a woodpecker on board of the ark. A woodpecker could do some major damage on Noah's ark. And so Noah has to nab that rascal and contain him. Well, if you're on the ark and your ark is your finances and you're Noah and you've got a woodpecker, you've got to contain that guy, all right? Look what Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16 says. If you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will barf. It's the Randy Ream translation, okay? In other words, translation, set limits on what you consume. Too much, and, well, it's too much. How to economize? Just some quick tips on this. Use a shopping list. We've talked about that. Don't lend money to the IRS. Whoops. Points. How to economize. First one, use a shopping list. Second, don't lend money to the IRS. You know, a lot of people lend money to the IRS. They have too much taken out of their paycheck. And guess what? They give the government a no-interest loan for a year. So if you get a big refund, they're just using that money. And you could put that money in the bank and be getting interest on it. Cut your grocery bill is the next one. Cut your grocery bill. There it is. Buy groceries in bulk. Use coupons. Go to Sam's Club or Costco, that kind of thing. Next, cut down on TV. Cut down on web browsing. Cut down on visits to the store. Some people just do that for entertainment. They just go to the store, browse the web on what kind of shoes they like. You know, it isn't smart. If you need shoes, then decide what you're going to spend beforehand and buy good quality shoes. But just don't go window shopping. You'll end up spending what you don't need on what you don't need. And then, finally, mute those commercials. Mute those commercials. They're always trying to seduce you with this, that, or the other thing. Mute them. It's what we do at home. I just, that's the time for me to check my email on my smartphone or to pick up a book. I mute the commercial and don't pay attention to that rubbish. And there you go. Everything that I'm saying could be summed up in our main idea. Act your wage. Act your wage. What we're talking about here, folks, is a big change in lifestyle. And if you don't make it, it won't work. And guess what? God wants us out of debt. He wants us out of debt. And the biggest proof of that is the cross. You know that the cross of Jesus Christ is all about paying a debt our sin debt that we owed to God every time we sin, we pile up on that. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid our sin debt. And then he rose from the dead. And that's the first step in getting your relationship with God right, is getting that debt taken care of by coming to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you to pay your debt. Let's turn ourselves now to prayer. I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready for the offering and the musicians to lead us in a final song. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not a Christ follower, but you'd like to learn how you can become one, come on down after the service and talk with me or one of us on our pastoral prayer team down here. We'd love to help you with that or pray with you if you have some need. Maybe you're struggling with something or there's an illness in your life or whatever. Come on down here. The Lord is good. He wants to bring good things into your life. Father in heaven, thank you for all that you give us. May this offering be an act of worship to you. We thank you and praise you for all you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.